when I go to write a few things post, I pull up Twitter, I open my bookmarks, and I start going through links. And so I thought it might be interesting if I do this kind of live without notes, just looking at the links and thinking about why I saved it, why I wanted to share it with you, if I have any thoughts on it. So that's the idea. I've got my Twitter bookmarks open here, and I'm just gonna try a few. I should say I have hundreds of bookmarks, so maybe I have thousands, I don't know. So I could do this all day long, but I will try and stop myself after a few minutes and we'll see where we're at. Okay, so one of the first things I'm seeing is news about Jacob Blake. I don't know if you were following this, but there was no charges in the killing of Jacob Blake. So you may remember he was the black man who was shot in the back up close 7 times. A couple of tweets, one from Bernice King. She writes, "How does shooting a human being in the back up close 7 times not warrant charges?" Another tweet from Kasim Rashid. He writes, "The Venn diagram of people justifying cops shooting Jacob Blake in the back 7 times and paralyzing him, and people justifying Kyle Rittenhouse murdering 2 innocent people and maiming a third is a perfect circle." So people are justifiably upset that no charges were brought. It is something that continues to just kind of blow my mind that there's been so much attention given and so much more awareness than we've ever had, at least in my lifetime, about police brutality directed toward black people. There are body cameras, there are, you know, people will shoot the footage, you know, just bystanders have camera phones, and we have records of this. We have so much knowledge that this is happening. We know it. It's not a myth. We have so much proof, evidence over and over. And my logical thought says that, okay, now that there's proof and evidence and we can see what's happening, police officers will start behaving better. Cops will be better, and we're going to see less violence. And I would also assume that, like, police officers will be held to account. They're going to be charged with crimes when they kill black people. And so, like, my logical mind would assume that, oh, once you have all this evidence and it's so clear and there's really no argument that it's not happening, we can see it's happening, that the instances will go down, that behavior would be better. And we have not seen that at all. Like, I don't think there's been any decrease in violence from police officers directed toward black people, minorities, or just, you know, general population at all. And in addition, we also haven't seen police officers held to account. Every once in a while, you'll see someone gets tiny consequence for a cop, but in general, they're not receiving consequences for these actions. So there's nothing that would motivate them to stop. It's why I'm definitely aligned with the campaigns about defunding and abolish the police. The system is so flawed. I don't feel like it's worth reforming. I don't feel like it's worth saving. I feel like we need to feel very strongly that there's strong evidence that we need to start from scratch. We need to re-envision the whole thing. Why do we have police officers? What are they for? What problems are they really dealing with? How can we do this in a better way that doesn't require a police force? There's really nothing salvageable about it. It's really, really so deeply corrupted and wrong at this point that the idea that someone feels desperate that we need to save it is really ridiculous. But we need to figure out a system where it's not drawing in power-hungry people, that the default isn't bullies, which is what it is right now, and with no accountability and just very deep corruption. Anyway, it's maddening. So that's related to the news stories about the cops who killed Jacob Black and that no charges have been made. Next article from Maggie Mason. It's a tweet. She says, "For the new year, you can nudge the world in a better direction by donating some of prisoners' most requested books. I chose coding, nonviolent communication, running a small business, and a few more. Prison Lit has an Amazon wish list set up here." And then she links to a page at prisonlit.org where you can buy books directly, donate, or support this cause. And I think it's a great cause. Oh, this was interesting. So there's an article, a tweet from Emily Peck that says, "Meghan McCain had a baby and now realizes that the U.S. needs paid maternity leave. She explains on The View. She says personal experience helped open her eyes. And then she has a link to an article about that, which looks like it has some video of The View. Andy Ziesler retweeted Emily Peck and responded or added commentary. She writes, "The conservative ethos distilled. It's not a problem unless it happens to me. And when it does happen to me, I am absolutely outraged that other people let it happen to me." And I think there's a lot of truth in what she says. Obviously, I'm not a conservative, so it's easy for me to be critical. But it's the same vibe I get from men who are like, "Oh, I didn't understand sexism or I didn't understand misogyny until I became a father." And while I'm delighted that they have opened their eyes to sexism and misogyny and that it exists, it also makes me roll my eyes a little bit because, you know, I assume they had a partner who was a woman who had the baby that became their daughter, and why wasn't that enough? And let's also assume they had a mother, because most human babies come from a vagina that is a mother, and, you know, why wasn't that enough? They have women in their lives before they become fathers. Like, that's just a fact. Over 50% of the population is female, and they were in touch with people who experienced sexism and misogyny as women before they became fathers. Why did they need that personal experience before they could take it seriously? And I feel the same way about Meghan McCain. Like, delighted that you're on board, but women have been talking about this for decades, and why wouldn't you take it seriously until you were faced with it? If we can't experience empathy and we can't feel this, if we have to personally experience every hardship before we can help other people with their hardships, well, that's a really crappy world. And I do feel like there's a tendency among conservatives to do such a thing. It's the same with COVID. Like, oh, I'm not taking it seriously until I get sick or till my family members get sick. And then suddenly I'm saying, hey, maybe we should be wearing masks. And it's hard not to go, yeah. We've all been saying wear masks. We've all been saying, you know, stop having parties, stop having weddings. Anyway, so I'm sure we'll see more commentary about that. And Meghan McCain tends to do kind of ridiculous things too. I have a hard time with her right now and always. So maybe I won't look at more of that. Maybe there's not much more to say.